Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of the Score programme tonight. What do we have for you this evening? Well, former Fin Harps captain Declan Boyd will look ahead to the clash of Fin Harps and Bray Wanderers in the FAI Cup. Plus, we'll be talking a few matters around Sligo Rovers as well. Sports editor of the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry, runs his eye over the Donegal All-County League finals. And indeed, there's a preview of the divisional final for the American Footballers of the Northwest Vipers. It's all coming up between now and 8 o'clock. And in addition to that, we've got some live coverage for you this evening as well. And we are going to go straight to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Derry City taking on CSK Sofia in the first qualifying round of the Europa League. And of course, Derry trailing 3-2 after the game in Bulgaria last week. The match started at 6:30 this evening in Derry, and they should be, what, approaching maybe, well, just past the 35-minute mark at this stage. Let's go live now to the Brandywell. Get the latest there for Hound Radio Sport. Martin Holmes. Martin. Obviously a bit noisy. Yeah, Martin, go ahead. A very good evening. Martin, obviously having some trouble in listening to us at the moment. We'll try one more time, so we will, with Martin, to see if he can hear us. Obviously, there's a couple of drums banging in the background there. So I'll tell you what, Martin, we'll try one more go. Martin Holmes reports from the Brandywells. Derry City against CSK Sofia. Martin. Well, it's about impossible, isn't it? Okay then, we'll leave Martin. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back at half time. We'll try, Martin. But what I can tell you is there's no score there in that game at the moment. 38 38 minutes played. Derry City 0, CSK Sofia 0 is the score. Sofia still leading 3-2 on aggregate in that tie. So we'll be back to Martin real soon to get a half time report, hopefully, on that one for you. Elsewhere today in European football, St. Joseph's and Bohemians played out a 0-0 draw in the Conference League qualifiers. That means Bows are through 2-0 in aggregate, and Glentoran are trailing on the night 2-0 in Latvia against RFS, and that means on aggregate they're currently 4-1 down. That match started at 5:30. Linfield are taking on their Estonia opposition, Nomi Kalju, at 7:45 this evening. Now, the proposed takeover at Fin Harps Football Club has been delayed by a number of weeks. Shareholders have been notified the vote to change the club from a cooperative society to a private limited company will not take place this Sunday at the special general meeting. The meeting will still go ahead as planned, but will instead be used as a fully informative evening around the conversion process that requires change to its administration and legal structure. The change is needed ahead of a potential takeover by Filipino businessman Freddy Gonzalez. The single biggest step is reducing the current members of 2,000 to the private limited company limit of 149. The large majority of Harps shareholders will need to transfer their shares to a trusted nominee before the club can convert. Up-to-date contact details and signatures for every shareholder is also needed to move forward. Now, full details on what the club are calling the wider process is available on the Fin Harps website. Original shareholders or family members are asked to contact the club via an email, secretary@finharps.ie. So there's been a delay due to the wider process, and it looks like the proposed takeover of Fin Harps by Freddy Gonzalez is still several weeks away. Okay, let's try the Brandywell one more time. Let's try Martin Holmes and getting the latest from the Europa League qualifier. Martin, it's back over to you. Derry City against CSK Sofia. No, it's not going to happen. We'll have to talk to Martin at halftime another way, so we will. Okay then, it is of course FAI Cup weekend. Fin Harps entertain Bray Wanderers in Balbafet Fin Park in the second round tomorrow evening. That's a fixture we'll have live updates from. There's non-league opposition for the other Northwest sides. Derry City to go on Tulka Rovers on Sunday at the Brandywell, while Sligo Rovers go to Janesborough on Saturday. On this week's Talking Soccer, I have been speaking to Fin Harps, former Fin Harps skipper Declan Boyd, who joined me in studio earlier today. Declan, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good, Oisin. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you in studio once again. Declan, listen, lots and lots to talk about. Obviously, Harps in the Cup. Derry playing in the cup, and we are recording this earlier in the day, so Derry, as this has been aired, are currently playing in Europe. So they are, but we'll start with Shelburne, who are in cup action against Kerry this weekend, and they have a new manager. John Russell left you guys at Sligo earlier in the week to take up the post in the capital. Did that come as a shock to the guys around Sligo?
Yeah, listen, honestly, I think it did. Probably nobody really seen that happening. We know the Sligo haven't been going well, and they're down bottom of the table, and results haven't been good, and they came from a bad weekend as well, losing to Galway, obviously. So nobody expected that the next decision would be that John Russell would step away from Sligo Rovers and become the manager of Shelburne, and that Shelburne were offering the job. So that's a big, big move, obviously, for John, a good move for him. Shelburne, a massive club, big budget, a lot of quality players, and he's moving away from the dogfight of a relegation, potentially, and to try to get into Europe with Shelburne. So, you know, we wish him well on that adventure. He's a good coach and he's done well, you would think, with Sligo Rovers over the last couple of years. But, yeah, so, again, I think was everybody surprised, really, by the decision.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of reports circulating over the last couple of days about who's going to be his successor. Your name is in the hat as well about being interim boss, but it depends on what Ryan Casey's doing. And even a report today was Lincoln knew that you would take over for the end of the season for them. So what is the stance currently on that at the moment, Declan, with you?
I suppose the stance really is that at the moment, Ryan Casey, who was John's number two, is in that position. We know that John Russell is looking to take him up to Shelburne as his number two, and I think that's been negotiated and they're talking about it. So that's been held up for one reason or another, so we don't know exactly what's happening on that level. I'm currently the under-20 manager and will be probably for the weekend, so until those things change, I really can't say too much on it, really. And it's, you know, it might materialise and it might not.
Okay, well, we'll wait to see what happens. We'll move on, of course, with, I suppose, other matters, League of Ireland-wise, and action, which is taking on or playing on the pitch this coming weekend. Actually, before we do that, Declan, I'm going to talk about this Van Harps takeover. There's been a change today. The vote will not take place about changing from a cooperative society for the club. And there's administration and I think legal reasons for it. So, but it is going to be an informative special general meeting now on Sunday for the shareholders before they move on to the next stage about coming out of a cooperative, and then they have to vote then whether they can sell the club. So this is going to rock on for another couple of weeks, yeah. But by the sound of things, what's your take on Freddy Gonzalez and the proposal to take over Finn Harps? Is it something that excites you? Is it something that you agree with?
Yeah.
Or is it something the Harps just have to get on with and do?
There's probably a bit of everything in it there, Oisin. I think, does Harps need it, the investment? Absolutely. And there's no doubt about that in regards to investment. The club needs a new stadium. We know that Finn Park is just not fit for purpose anymore, and new stadium. They also have plans for a training facility as well, which, you know, is very, very welcome from a senior club. You need to have somewhere to have a base where everybody can come together and train at a decent level and good facilities on board. Having an investor come in and invest all that money, I don't know enough about him. You know, you have to look from the outside and think, you know, why is he coming into Donegal? Why that reason is, hopefully it's a very, very positive one, for Finn Harps going forward. You know, and, you know, I suppose I don't think that the supporters, the shareholders have any real choice in the matter. I think they have to go with this takeover. They really have to, because at the moment things aren't good within the club. You see all the debt that they have and where they are with the stadium, and that's been held up as well. And I've no doubt their finance is probably holding that up as well. So there's a lot of variables happening that are negative, and this is a positive one at the moment. But again, you never know with somebody coming to invest money in an organisation how that's going to fit long term. You know, short term, yeah, but be a really positive effect. But long term, how will that actually affect the club going forward? But even if it isn't, and even if it is a negative long term, if we can get a brand new stadium built in Finn Park or in Balbuffet, wouldn't that be great? If nothing else,
Harps are playing Bray in the cup. Is the cup a welcome, I suppose, distraction for Kevin McHugh's side, rooted to the bottom of the first division, taking on a Bray side that they've done well against in recent fixtures in the league, and of course they played them last year as well, en route to the quarterfinals of the competition. So is it coming timely now that this break, maybe to give Kevin and the group time to regroup, I suppose?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, the Cup, you can leave your league form behind you. You know what you have. It's going to be a difficult game. Bray Wanderers are going really well. Second the table to Cork. Had a massive result against UCD at the weekend. Scored a lot of goals. Are very formidable at home. Fenn Harps have done well in recent games against them in Fenn Park. So they'll be looking for a big performance. You know, so again, you know, the results haven't been good. We're sitting top or bottom, sorry, should I say, of the first division. So having a cup run would be really good for the players, really good for the club, maybe financially as well. That would help to get people into the turnstiles and bring in an extra revenue for the club. So yeah, listen, can they go and beat Bray? It's going to be a big ask. I suppose Daniel Ring, their striker, has been recalled by John Russell from Shelburne, so that's definitely an added bonus for their missing their striker. Yeah. So he will be a miss, but they've still got real quality all over the pitch. They've got pace, they can really hurt you, and they've got really good midfielders in Ben McCormick and Sean Brennan who control the game in those areas as well. So very formidable team if we let them play. Last year Harps had a big result against them and won the league matches. I think they won, you know, 5-0 or something like that, you know. So if they can defeat performance like that and get a result and get into the next round of the draw, wouldn't be really positive for both Kev McHugh and the players.
Is the distractions off the pitch having an impact, do you think? Now obviously Kevin will be looking to bring players in at this stage of the season. You see that, like, what Derry's doing, like, there's an influx of players coming to the brand new, but it's not the case in Bally Buffet. So are they factors maybe that's adding into the situation at the moment?
Yeah, I suppose it shouldn't really impact the players too much. I think probably from a Kevin's perspective, I would think that he thought this might be done and dusted and he might get a bit of extra revenue in from the new investment, that it wouldn't take as long. So with the transfer window now coming in and closing at the end of the month, he probably thought that this, you know, investment would go through and he might have some money to bring in better quality players to strengthen the squad for the last, you know, last run of games, obviously. But it looks like the way things have been held up a wee bit and the paperwork and the legality of some of the documentation that needs to be all approved and signed off, as you say, going to a private organisation, it's going to be held up. So will Kevin get the investment? I don't think he will, and it looks like it'll probably be the start of next season before he sees that investment.
Okay, so what do you think then? How's it going to go Friday night? Now, you've add in the form, add in your head, add in your heart, Kevin. Declan.
Listen, it's a difficult one. You know, our results haven't been great at home, not scoring an awful lot of goals. And, you know, we had obviously one-nil victory there recently and then a 1-0 loss as well. So you've got to say that we're not scoring enough goals. And it's very hard to see Bray not scoring. Even though they won comfortably against UCD, can they score two or three? They could. So Harp's going to have to score at least two goals to win the game. And I don't see that happening.
Okay, well, we will have updates tomorrow night, Friday. Jeremy Doherty on duty, 7:45, the kick-off. Harps taking on Bray Wanderers. Just some of the other selected games this weekend, because there is a lot in round two and there's a lot of non-league sides playing. We'll look sort of at the games that have League of Ireland, two teams from the League of Ireland playing, like St. Pat's taking on First Division Wexford. We have Waterford playing host to Cove Ramblers, which should be an interesting tie. Treaty United taking on a UCD team. They got lumped 6-0 by Bray Wanderers the last time. Kerry FC against Shelburne. We're going to have John Russell in charge for the first time in that one. Shamrock Rovers taking on Cork City as well on Friday night at 8 o'clock. And of the other Northwest sides that are playing, that's on at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Just on Sligo, I know we touched on them earlier. Janesborough is the opposition. You should see Sligo comfortably come through that game.
Yeah, listen, you'd hope that, you know, full-time outfit Premier League versus a junior league team, that Sligo should go out on top on that one. I know the reform hasn't been good. You mentioned about, you know, away from the league and now into a cup, so it's refreshing. Down in Limerick, obviously, as well, so listen, Sligo should win that game, you'd think. I think the probably pick of the round is probably the tie issue is Shamrock Rovers versus Cork City. Yeah. That's a big one, I think. We'll interesting to see how that goes. Waterford to Cove, that's a derby pretty much, and a lot of Waterford players are now playing for Cove as well, you know, so a lot of players have changed over. Kerry and Shelburne, John Russell went down there and was very comfortable last year and ended up losing the game 4-3 against Sligo Rovers. So Kerry turned them over, so he'll make sure that doesn't happen again. You know, so there are a couple of big, and Derry City have probably a handy one against Talker Rovers.
You should expect lots of changes maybe from the manager. and giving some of the younger guys and new signings more run, more time on the pitch?
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, especially as well with the European games, you know. Yeah. So you think that he probably will rotate and give players that probably haven't played that much and expect them to turn more. Not that Talker Rovers are a very good junior team, like, you know, but you expect them with the quality there is that they have. And all those teams in the Premier League, they should be turning over. But will there be a shock throughout the whole league? It's very hard to see it.
You talked about a cup run maybe being a good thing for Harps. Is it a good thing for Sligo where they're at the moment, or do they need just to refocus on staying in the top flight?
Yeah, I still think that, you know, winning games is good for confidence, regardless, you know, if that's in the cup or in the league. So, and it does take your focus away a wee bit. Sligo would have been down to the years renowned for good cup runs, and they probably haven't had it. And they've been beaten by less opposition in the last 3 years.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's worrying from them. You know, can they get a good cup run? Same as Harps, you know, you want to, like, obviously you need the draw to be very beneficial to you and you know, favourable towards you, that you might get a lesser opposition, and that makes a big difference, you know. But can you go into the semi-final, quarter-finals? It'll give everybody an extra dimension and lift and a bit of energy as well throughout the club.
Okay. Listen, Deggie, thanks for coming on the studio. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Enjoy the football the weekend.
All right? Do. Thank you. Cheers.
There you go. Deggie Boyle, who joined me in studio earlier today to look ahead to the cup action, the FAI Cup, especially for Fun Harps, and obviously things going on at Sligo Rovers at the moment. Now, we've ditched the new technology that we have established for the connection to the Brandywell, and we've gone old school and onto the phone line to get a half-time report, because the first round qualifiers of the Europa League is taking place. It's leg two, Derry City taking on CSK Sofia. Going into the game, Derry were trailing by 3-2. They've completed the opening 45 minutes. Let's get the details on what happened in that opening half. They're at the break. Here's Martin Holmes for Highland Radio Sport.
Thanks, Oisin. Half-time 0-0 on the night. Derry still trailing by 3-2. They made three changes from the first leg. Boyce, Dummigan and Slevin out of the team. O'Reilly, DeSantis and Flemings in. On 12 minutes, DeSantis went down the left and he evaded two really heavy challenges before he got across into the CSK box. And it fell to Adam O'Reilly, but it was maybe half a step too much pace on it, and O'Reilly couldn't connect with it. On 13 minutes, Patrick McLean cut it across from the left for a corner. It was a vital block, a low ball in from CSK in the Derry box, and McLean just poked it around the post for a corner kick. And at 17 minutes, Brian Maher made a save with his legs from Pettis, the CSK centre forward. It was a good shot from 20 yards, and the keeper made a very good block with his legs. And at 34 minutes, CSK put a great ball in the Derry box, but there's no challenger for it, and Maher gallered and cleared it quite easily for Derry. Derry had plenty of the ball. The other team looked like they're just kind of consolidating their lead at 3-2. They're not killing themselves. They've had a few forays into the Derry area, but they're not killing themselves in an effort of trying to score a goal. I suppose another goal would really put it out of reach for Derry. But as it is at the break, it's a packed house at the Brandywell. Families, kids, everybody's here. All generations, every Derry City shirt from the past 40 years is on display tonight. But the most important stat is the scoreline. And at the break, on the night, it's Derry City 0, CSK Sofia 0.
Okay, many thanks to Martin Holmes. That's how things sit there at half time, and we'll of course have a full time report from that game on our website, HighlandRadio.com, later on, and hopefully some good reaction pieces as well. Possibly Derry City advance it in the Europa League. Bohemians have definitely advanced. They're into round two of the Conference League qualifiers. They drew 0-0 in Gibraltar with St Joseph's, so that means that they go through 2-0 in aggregate. And Glentoran are going to bow out. The Irish League side have just lost 2-0 to RFS, and that means they have gone down 4-1 on aggregate. Linfield kickoff at 7:45 against Nama Kalja of Estonia. Some other sports stories related to the Northwest today. Dylan Brown McMonagall has brought his racing win total this week to 8 with a treble at Leopardstown this evening. He won the 4:20 on the 1-3 shot, Star of State. He followed that up in the very next race with victory again on Ballyskia at 7-4. And he also won the 6 o'clock on Bellescue at Evens. And he's not done yet. He's still got a few more to go. He also had winners this week over the past few days at Killarney, Longsham in France and in Dundalk as well. And in cricket, the Northwest Warriors, well, they took victory in their final group game in the one-day Interprovincial Cup against the Northern Knights at Eglinton. The Warriors 277 for the loss of 7. The Knights were 150 all out in reply. So the Warriors taking victory there by 127 runs. It's time for a commercial break, and we'll be talking Gaelic Games finals after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, your home for GAA gear.
Okay, let's go to GAA. League titles will be won this weekend with the football divisional deciders taking place in Donegal. Four Masters and Dunloe will contest the top flight final, while Neve Columba and Ardra will do battle to be crowned Division 2 champions. And Neve Breed and Eric Gales will contest the Division 3 final as well. As we look ahead to those games now, we have to say a very good evening to sports editor of the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm good, Oisin, and yourself?
Not too bad, Ryan. Listen, a lot of big matches to come this weekend on the Gaelic Games front, with finals in the All-County Leagues. And I suppose, Ryan, these sides that are participating in finals, they've already secured promotion, I'm sure, which was the main objective for the sides at the start of the year. But how much weight does it carry if you can head into the championship as a league champion, a divisional winner this year? And does it give you much maybe momentum going into the championship, which starts, what, just under a month's time now?
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to gauge, really, Oisin, you know, how much, you know, teams will get from it. Like, I suppose we look at the likes of Tyrone last year, you know, were league champions and, but had a bit of a flat start to the senior championship, but eventually came good then, you know. So, I think winning games and getting silverware on board, you know, it is a positive. I don't think teams will be getting too carried away with it either. And, you know, there's probably a couple of weeks break now after this week's game before the championship, and they'll be getting down to work and maybe playing a few challenge games and getting ready for the championship as well. So, like, I don't think there'll be any great tears or anything like that, Oisin, if it doesn't go the way, you know. So, we'll see how it all plays out. But I would think we'll have a couple of good games this weekend. You know, the weather is looking good, and you know, the football has been reasonable on show from what I've seen in the All County League so far. So hopefully we'll see more of it now on over the weekend.
Yeah, Four Masters taking on Dunloe in the big one, the Division 1 League final, 8 o'clock in Glenties on Saturday evening. Four Masters lost out in the final last year to Tyrone, and there's a lot expected off the Donegal Town side now in the coming years, Ryan, given the influx of players that have come through their underage ranks over the last number of years. But they're back in a league final, taking on Dunloe, and Four Masters heading into the championship probably with big expectations as well.
Yeah, they definitely are, Oisin, and you know, they reached the semi-finals of the senior championship last year. Maybe people were a wee bit surprised that had come so soon for them, and that has probably raised expectations again. Now, you've mentioned their underage success, and they, you know, they've a conveyor belt of talent coming through. Now, there are, you know, probably other headaches attached to that, and you have a lot of young players, and you know, there's a good few of them away to America this year, you know, and they're probably young and in college, and you know, no full time work to contend with, so they're probably not at full tilt at the minute, but. Like you look, like I've seen a good bit of them at underage level, and both for Masters and for Donegal, you know, when there's a lot of good players coming through, and you know, they're going to be an exciting team to watch. You know, you would just imagine that they've had so much success, and they're bringing through such good players that they are inevitably going to be a force in Donegal over the next 10 years, maybe more. So, yeah. But you know, it doesn't always work out the way, you know, 2 plus 2 doesn't always equal 4. And you know, things may change, and you know, people may head away, and there might be different injuries to contend with and things. But at the minute, if you were a Four Masters supporter, I think you'd be fairly excited what the future might bring.
Yeah, Senan Carr, Turlough Carr, Kevin Muldoon not available. Of course, they will be without the services of those guys. But from a Dunloe point of view, a team that reached the county final in 2024, and they're now going into this league final ahead of the championship for this season. What are you expecting of Dunloe and this league final at the weekend, Ryan? Because their manager has told you this week in the paper, and you have tipped Four Masters with your verdict, Matthew Wilson, but Noel McBride was speaking to Matthew as well, and he's expecting a tough test on Saturday, and this could be a really, really close game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a look at Dunloe. I seen them earlier on in the league, and I was quite impressed You know, they've been building steadily. You know, they've had, you know, the couple of players each year playing for the county minors, and they seem to be able to integrate them into the senior setup. You know, they've lost Ryan Connors and Barry Curran to emigration, and they were two very important players, pivotal players to them, particularly in that run to the county final. But, you know, they seem to have brought through another couple this year. Danny McCready and Chris O'Donnell have been doing well. I see Damien McGowan played nets last week. He was in the under-20 panel a couple of years ago. So, you know, it looks like a wee bit of freshen up there. Obviously, Noel McBride and Adrian Sweeney are in there now. And, you know, so they've a lot of good players, don't know. They're a team I've been really impressed with over the last few years, because I think there's great honesty to them. They compete very well. And, you know, there's been question marks. Maybe can they get enough scores in big games? And they definitely have a lot of good forwards. And, but, you know, I think they'll see an opportunity for themselves in Glenties on Saturday, particularly when Four Masters are down those couple of players. And, you know, we're expecting Mark Curran to be back in for Dunlow. So, you know, I think Dunlow will be eyeing up the silverware here and think they've got a real good chance of winning this game.
That game starts at 8 o'clock. Before that, at 6, is the Division 1B League final with Four Masters taking on Termon. Also at Davy Brennan Memorial Park. Four Masters looking for the league double at the weekend. There's also the Division 1 relegation promotion playoff. St Michael's gave themselves a lifeline against Gwydor last week to go into this game against Inishowen's Niamh Patrick Ishkeheen from Muff. Can the visitors from Inishowen trouble St Michael's, or are you going down the track that maybe the experience in the top flight is going to keep the boys from the bridge there?
Yeah, well, I was at the bridge last week to see St Michael's against Gwydor, Oisín, and I was very impressed with St Michael's, I have to say. You know, they didn't have Michael Langan, they didn't have Carlos O'Reilly, you know, like Liam Paul Ferry has been out injured, and you were thinking that Gwydor would have too much for them, but St Michael's just wouldn't go away. And, you know, they really battled hard, and there was a fantastic full-length block from Kyle McGarvey right at the end. That saved them on that occasion. Now, will it be good enough? They still need to beat Niamh Patrick this weekend. And, it's, you know, Niamh Patrick are building it as a bit of a free hit for them. Oisín had a strong start to the league. And then, you know, their team was probably weakened a bit midway through the league, and then a couple of disappointing results. But, you know, managed to get in that third spot ahead of Mallon on head-to-head. So, you know, it doesn't look like Keelan McColgan's going to be playing, which is probably a pity for Niamh Patrick. But, you know, they've been making good, steady progress for years. They were in Division 3 and couldn't get out of it. And now they're pushing, knocking on the door for Division 1. I still think with St Michael's know-how and experience, you know, and the likes of Colin McFadden and Daniel McLaughlin playing well, it's hard to see past St Michael's. But, you know, Niamh Patrick will be thinking that they can upset the odds.
Moving on to Division 2, none of the sides will be looking at it as a free hit in the league decider. The top two, who are into the top flight with promotion, Niamh Columba, against Ardrada. That's in Dunganilly at 5 on Saturday, Ryan. What's your thoughts going into this one, and how important is it for either side, again, if they can lift a bit of silverware before the championship?
Yeah, well, like, I think for Niamh Columba, you know, they're gearing up to go back into the senior championship, which is, you know, it's going to be important for them. And, you know, they've had a long wait in intermediate, and they finally got out of it last year. And they've been very impressive. I saw them in Downing's a couple of weeks ago, and I thought they were moving very, very nicely, and they were even without a couple of important players that day. So I think Niamh Columba are going well, and they're going to be a team to watch if they can get everybody fit for the championship. I think Ardra have a couple of injuries, like Conor Classen and Gavin Sweeney, which will be a blow to them. You know, they were well beaten by Niamh Columba in the league, so there'll be maybe a bit of pride dented with that. But Ardra, you know, I'm sure they're delighted to get back into Division 1. Good young forwards coming through, and, you know, they'll be eyeing up this victory too, Oisín, and I think if they can get it, it'll leave them in a good place going into the championship.
Yeah, the Division 2 league final this weekend, the Division 2B it is Ardra against Carndonagh. So Ardra boys looking for a double to end the the league campaign. That's on Sunday. And the Division 2 relegation promotion playoff sees Cairn Donagh against Neave Ulton, with the winner there to play Division 2 football next season. On to Division 3B, the league final in St Mary's and Convoys at 1:30. St Noel's are up against Neave Breed. And Neave Breed, just like lots of other clubs this weekend, the same as Four Masters in our draw, looking for a league double, because the Division 3 Senior League final is on at 3:30 in Convoy. It's Neave Breed against Letterkenny Gaels, Ryan. Two sides that know each other very well. And this game could turn out to be a cracker. It could be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, well, they met last year in the junior semi-final at the Cross, Oisin, and it was arguably the best game of the season. It went to extra time. It was late goals. It was attack and flair. It was a great, great game. And, you know, now there's a couple of key players from that aren't playing. Ronan Freans in America, and Kenny Gales and Donald Gallagher's in America for Neave Breed. So, you know, they won't be quite at full tilt, but you know what? It has the makings of a good game. Neave Breed defeated Letterkenny Gaels a couple of weeks ago in the regulation league game, and Letterkenny Gaels had been a really strong start to the season. And you know, their manager Eddie Glacken was telling me in the Donegal News this week that there was a bit of a drop off when they got the promotion secure. So he's hoping they can get back on track this week. And you know, You're eyeing up these two teams, Oisin, as strong contenders in the Junior A Championship. I don't think there's not a side like Cairn Donagh in it this year that, you know, have been operating at a much higher level. So I think both of these teams will be thinking a victory this week sparks us into life and you know, puts them on the pathway perhaps towards a league and championship double.
Yeah, certainly so. That one starts down in St Mary's at 3:30 this weekend. So there you go, Ryan. That's it. Listen, hopefully the good weather will continue through the weekend. You enjoy the football and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Good man, Oisin. Thank you.
And there is, of course, Liddy's finals taking place this weekend as well. They start tomorrow night, Friday. St Union's play Downings. That's the Division 2 decider in Neave Columbkill in Newton at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, there's two games at 11. The Division 3 final between Mallon and Neave Padraigish Gahin is down at the Scarvey in Buncrana, and all in a Sean affair there. And in our draw at Pierce Memorial Park, also at 11 on Sunday, Division 4 final, Arua Ballyshannon up against Dunlow. The Division 1 final's penciled in for Sunday week, the 26th, with Glenfinn up against Term, and that one's due to take place in Lifford on Sunday week. Gaelic Masters in Fintan, Killybegs on Saturday. It will be Donegal against Monaghan. It's round 6. Basically, the winner will top the group and go to the All-Ireland semi-final. The winner of this game will also lift the inaugural Martin Gillespie Memorial Cup. On the athletics front, the European Under-18 Championships are starting for the Donegal competitors tomorrow. Tara Rose Smith of Finn Valley goes in the 800 metres in Rita in Italy. And then on Sunday, Lara O'Gara of Finn Valley is in the 5,000 metre walk, and Harry McElwain of Letterkenny is set to run in the medal relay. There's also schools track and field championship action taking place in Belfast, where the National Athletics Outdoor Games and Combined Championships are being held in the Martin Stadium as well. As always, Patsy McGonigal will be following all the action athletics-wise for Highland over the coming weekend. So Derry City have gone 1-0 up against Sofia, so it means it's level pegging at 3 apiece. Elias Chapman has got the goal there for Derry. We'll get details off that score coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme tonight. We are into the final section of the programme. Before we talk American football, we're going to go to the Europa League first round qualifiers. Derry City need to score twice tonight and not concede if they're going to make it through to round two. They've already got their first goal. It came in the opening minutes of the second half, with all the details on Derry leading here 1-0 against Sofia at the Brandywell. Here's Martin Holmes.
Thanks, Derry. 1-0 in front. It should actually be 2-0 in front. Ellis Chapman scored on 47 minutes. Michael Duffy's free kick into the box was much better, CSK League goalkeeper. And then, as I say this day, there looks to be a wee bit of crowd trouble away to my left hand side. There's Derry fans running here toward we are people with kids as well. So a bit of concern there. There are too many heads are really focused on the bottom corner where the CSK fans are, not on the action on the pitch. And I think a referee might have stopped it now because all the players are standing with their hands at their hips nothing over here. As it is on the pitch, I mean, people have spilled out under the pitch now, supporters, Derry City supporters. So a bit of trouble here now. And I can't see where I am because a lot of bodies, a lot of heads in front of me. But there's a lot of Derry City supporters, people, the young children, have spilled out under the pitch. And the referee is bringing the teams over to the halfway line. On 52 minutes, what should have been a second goal for Chapman, was a great ball in from Cotter on the right-hand side. And he seemed to be trying to showboat. Instead of thumping the ball from 6 yards, he seemed to be trying to, in mid-air, trying to dink it past the keeper. When in a chance like that, he's thumping it past the keeper. A great chance from 6 yards. But it shows how well Derry have come back into it here. But I'd be more concerned about what's happening off the pitch here, because there's people spilling under this crowd where I am, who shouldn't be in this area. So there's a lot of concern here. I would be worried about what's happening because there's fans on the pitch. A lot of people with mobile phones out filming this, so it'll be shown on social media, I'm sure, no doubt. But there's some concern down there. But from where we are, we have just no way of seeing it. But as it is on the pitch, I think it's so far so good for Derry. They're 1-0 up on the night. And the scoreboard, the new scoreboard here says 58 minutes played. The goal was checked by VAR. That's another first for Brandywell, a first ever VAR check on a goal here. But it was never in doubt. It was always a goal. So I'll go back to you. I'll keep an eye on what's happening here. But so far in this match, with 58 minutes played of the game, it's Derry City 1, CSK 0 on the night. And it's 3-3 over the two legs.
Okay, many thanks to Martin Holmes. We'll be back to maybe just before 8 o'clock. Hopefully they'll get those issues resolved with the supporters, whatever's going on there at the moment in the Brandywell. But Derry are leading 1-0. Okay, to American football. This Saturday will be the biggest day in the short history of the Northwest Vipers. The Northwest's only American football team will line out against the South Dublin Panthers in the Harp Bowl final at Dewberry Park in Athlone this coming Saturday. Having been formed 11 years ago, the Vipers have gone from strength to strength and are now mixing it with some of the best American football teams in Ireland. Newton Cunningham native Cathal Curran has been involved in the offensive line since the beginning and couldn't be more proud of how the club have come on. While Gidor's Mikey Nulty has been in the fold since 2019, he's the key man. He's the quarterback. He's the cog that is, I suppose, taking this well-oiled machine through their paces and into the weekend's mammoth fixture. Cahill and Mike called in the studio earlier this week and spoke to Highlands, Mark Gallagher.
Cahill, maybe I'll start with you. You've been involved with the club for an awful long time. It's a massive week for the club. Saturday is obviously going to be huge with the Harp Bowl final. But maybe firstly, let's go back to the semi-final against the West Dublin Rhinos last weekend. You just came out on top 23-21, I think it was. It was being billed as a big occasion and it didn't disappoint?
No, it definitely didn't disappoint. We started very well and went on the commanding lead, I would say, off the game. And I think it stayed that way right into the third quarter, I would say. But the Dublin Rhinos have always been a tough team and they came back and really put it to us then and made a real game out of it. We had to work hard then to get over the line, but thanks to players like this man here to my right, we were able to get that extra edge and get over the line.
And Mike, semi-finals can be tricky. Nobody wants to lose a semi-final. The mind can often wander to what it would be like to represent the team in a final, but it was just important for the team to really stay focused in the moment and get over the line before you started worrying about any final or anything like that.
Yeah, it was. We all had to kind of really focus, pull the socks up and go for it, because we kind of were letting them back into it. Some silly mistakes and things like that. It might just come down to experience. You know, most of the boys actually weren't in a situation like that before to play a semi-final. There was boys there that might have played in a semi-final and a final and had that experience as well. But it was about pulling them guys in and getting them to help us get over the line as well and just make sure we don't make any more mistakes towards the end of the game. But the Rhinos, fair play to them. They did give it to us, to be honest.
And you're the quarterback?
Yeah.
I know there's a pressure in every position, but a lot hinges in that position. Do you thrive in the pressure, do you think?
Yes and no, I would say. It's kind of, it's one of them positions that's really important. You do have to kind of keep your head and listen. All players are guilty of sometimes losing their head. I'm guilty of it sometimes as well. But look, it's part of the sports. You know, you learn how to handle pressure. You move forward with it and you just make sure to stay, be that figure for the rest of the team that they all look up to. And if I'm losing my head, you know, everybody else is going to start thinking, well, it has a domino effect, so everyone else kind of loses their head too. So,
Cahill, have you been involved since the start of the club?
I have, yeah.
And Mike, what about you? You're newer to the picture, are you?
Was it about 2020, 2019?
All right.
Cahill, yeah. I think it was about 2019 I first started, but I took a big break there after an injury, so.
Good stuff. Cahill, you're facing into what I suppose is easily the biggest day in the club's short history. As I say, you've been involved from the start, but on occasions like this and weeks like this, even Saturday, you must have to pinch yourself at times just to see how far the club has come in such a short space of time.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose whenever we got going, got started, like our first year, we won one game at the start, and to us that was a massive occasion, won our first game. The year after, then I think we went all the way and got promoted out of that league that we were in a final, and that was something that we were thinking as a young, you know, young players that, look, we're going to be in this situation all the time. But as clubs develop, and you know, you're going to have your hard seasons and your good seasons and your hard seasons, but we're very lucky now to be able to have a game like this now, the semi-final. Our coach that came in, Paul Donalds, installed a lot of belief into all of us and really upped the standards, and our captains as well, like Mike here too as well. And to be able to be going into a Heart Bowl final now for the club after 11 years, it's absolutely fantastic.
You mentioned standards. I just love the, from the outside looking in, I love the professionalism of it all. Your social medias are buzzing. You have photographers of the games. You stream the games. You have highlights up on YouTube, match previews, match reports. From the outside looking in, it really seems to be a professional setup, and I suppose that helps on the pitch too.
Absolutely. Just with the coverage that you're talking about there, American football has always been so far ahead with what you've been able to do and promote. Like Gaelic and soccer and Donegal and Derry and across are sort of catching up to where American football was. I think it was because it's a sport that needed the promotion and needed the plug, but you can do so much promotion through American football, and having as well stations like Highland Radio that have always opened the door to us, because we've been such a niche sport, yous have always opened the door to us and let us in and have allowed us to grow in Donegal and across the Northwest.
For sure. Mike, you're obviously enjoying your football at the moment. You're having a good season. What are the feelings now ahead of Saturday's Heart Bowl final against the South Dublin Panthers? I believe you've played them before this season, have you?
We did play them. We played them the first game of the season. We thought going into the season we were like prepared and ready to go, and you know, we thought we were going to have a good season. And I'll tell you, it was a big wake-up call playing the Panthers. We lost 19-0. Listen, we went back, we trained, we figured it out a little bit, and we just moved from there. We just kept making sure that we kept the belief up, and we knew that we were better than what we showed that day. Fair dues to the Panthers, because they were quite good on the day. They kept us quiet on offense. Some mistakes from us as well, but we weren't that team. We weren't ready at that point.
And you haven't been beat since, is that right?
We haven't been beat since yet. We have eight wins in the trot now. Yep. Finished 7-1, just won the semis there, so it's eight wins in the trot.
That must give you confidence though, because even though a team has beaten you, there's a clear picture of that was then and this is now, and hopefully you'll have a new leap in your step come Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely think that it'll be a different game. Now, it depends on what way it opens up. It depends on what the Panthers do to start. It depends what we do to start. But we have made new recruits throughout the year that we didn't have with the Panthers, and I feel like they're going to have a big impact in the game too. So we're looking forward to Saturday, and whatever happens, happens.
Cahill, it's obviously a squad game, but you mentioned to me off air that you have a player that's come from college in America. Tell me a wee bit about him.
Yeah, we've actually got two. Mike will be able to tell you a bit more about him, but I'll just tell you a wee bit about it. Is he has come to play for us. He's background college football over in America. He's come over. He's been absolutely brilliant, both sides of the ball. But to have somebody like that coming over, it's been a massive thing for the league as well to see this happening. And for us at the Vipers, he's brought so much to us as well. You know, he's added so much more. But Mike can tell you a bit more about him too as well.
Well, I think how the story goes is we got Mike Mallon first that came over. Mike Mallon will be good friends with Ishi Ahmad. Mike had a very good game in the first game he had against the Wexford Eagles. He got the MVP for the game, and Ishi had actually seen his post, and he was like, "Oh, you're playing football in Ireland now?" He says, "How can I get into that?" And then the rest is history. You got to play in here, and he was here for the fifth game, and he's now playing with us. But to have two guys like that, first Mike come and play on his own and then win the MVP in his first game, it put the league on notice, because Mike was a good player. But then Ishi came, and his first game he got the MVP then. And, you know, it is helping the league a lot, because you see teams then really worrying and focusing on them players, and it's showing the standard that we want to all get to. And having that person to come over here and teach us what they know, having the know-how to teach different positions, play in different positions, and show us the standards throughout the actual sport. So it's been great to have them two guys come as an addition, and I think it's been absolutely fantastic for our growth and development as well.
Cahill, Saturday, massive occasion obviously for the club. Dubarry Park in Athlone is the venue. 12 o'clock, it's an early kickoff time, is it?
Yeah, it's an early start for us because it's part of a double header. The Shamrock Bowl final is also on. It's on after us. So, yeah, it's an early start.
So what would it mean to get your hands on this Harp Bowl on Saturday afternoon?
It would mean so much, I would say, to all the players, to all of us on the field, to the men that have been there the full 11 years. It would mean so much to the new guys coming in. It's equally as important for them because it can take so long to get to a final, and we've got a good mix of boys on the field that can instill that, look, this is you've one chance at this, and it mightn't come around for 10 years. You might get another chance, you know, before that, but it's going to mean absolutely everything to us and to our committee and to everybody involved with the Vipers.
And these occasions, you mentioned it's a doubleheader with the Shamrock Bowl final. The thing I like about these games is that they're really good family occasions. You could take the family down and watch a couple of American football games. There's lots happening. There'll be a good atmosphere about. Hopefully the weather sticks for another wee while. So Dubarry Park in Athlone on Saturday afternoon, well, 12 o'clock on Saturday. It'll be a great occasion to take the family to.
Absolutely. The league have actually put in so much work in making a doubleheader as well. It's going to be fantastic. Atmosphere, anything you can think on whenever you watch the American football games, it'll be something like that. I think it's the 11th Harp Bowl final, so they've been building it. So look, this is another step for the league too as well.
And we wish Cahill and indeed Mike and the rest of the Vipers all the very best in that final this coming Saturday. That full interview is available on our website, HenryRadio.com. Okay, before we finish up, we're going back to the Brand New Ale. The match between Derry City and Sofia was interrupted. Derry leading 1-0, but there was crowd trouble. When we were talking to Martin Holmes, it was happening live as we were speaking to him. So, Martin, what's the situation there now?
Well, from my vantage point on top of a chair, they clear the pitch. The players of the two teams are standing outside the tunnel. Some of the players from each side are on the pitch ready to rock. We're just waiting on the clearance. We've had a good 10 minutes here so far. There's quite a contingent of fans from CSKA. But there's no sign. The referee's out on the halfway line, but he's kind of shrugging his shoulders. I'm not sure what clearance or who. There's probably a UEFA observer here who maybe give the approval of the clearance, but it's a really bad look for Derry, for League Ireland football. They're brandy well, not the norm. Incidents in the past way outside groups outside the stadium, but like you know, Brian Maherg is back on the goal. Derry are 1-0 up. They scored in 47 minutes. Three Ellis Chaplin, Mickey Duffy's cross from a free kick was missed by the goalkeeper. Fleming headed it back across the goal mouth, and Chaplin headed in. He could have made it 3-0 in 53 minutes. Got his brilliant ball from the right, fell nicely 6 yards out, and Chaplin looked at me to be trying to do a bit of fancy footwork when he should have just thumped the ball under the net. But as it is now, it's 3-each on aggregate across the two legs. 1-0 on the night for Derry. We have at least 35 minutes of football left, which is the half hour, and then maybe 5 minutes out of time, or 6-7 minutes perhaps. There's like well over half an hour of football to be played here, so it's just coming up to 8 o'clock now, and we've got 70 minutes on the clock. We're back in play. Derry have a throw on from Brandon Fleming on the far side, and normal service has been resumed.
Okay, then. Many thanks to Martin Holmes. So Derry leading there by a goal to nil against Sofia. Hopefully, there's no more crowd trouble to deal with there. And it's been a great occasion for Derry. They're leading, they need another goal. If they get that, they will be through. But hopefully, that's the end of the crowd trouble at the Brandywell this evening. We will, of course, have more football on our website. We'll have a full time report from that game. Hopefully, good news available on HighlandRadio.com later this evening, and hopefully, some positive reaction pieces as well. Other live football we have for you: Finn Harps are playing Bray Wanderers, of course, in the Cup tomorrow night. FEI Senior Cup, 7:45 is the kickoff. The venue is, of course, Finn Park in Ballybuffet. And Jeremy Doherty is going to be on duty for Harps tomorrow night, or for Highland tomorrow night at the Harps game as usual. And Harps bottom of the table, hoping to park that, I suppose, league form, and the cup's a nice distraction. And listen, they've had some good results, positive results, of course, against Bray in recent times. They've taken 4 points off the 6 so far off the league off them, and they beat them on route to the quarterfinals last year as well. But it is, of course, all to play for in the cup. And there you go. That's the latest edition of The Score, done and dusted tonight. If you missed any of the show, it will, of course, be available on the website, highlandradio.com, very, very soon indeed. Jimmy Stafford is up next with Centre Stage. From me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the continued sunny and warm conditions. Have a very good Thursday evening. Chris Ashmore's your next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.